On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I preview the football team's upcoming matchup in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I also give updates and previews for the men's and women's basketball teams and end things with my New Year's six-pack of picks. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 30 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I guess we're sort of back from the holidays, if you will, with an abbreviated schedule here. I hope everyone had a nice break. It doesn't matter how you celebrated, who you celebrated with, even if you didn't do anything. I hope you had a nice break from work. We're able to sit your ass on the couch and watch some TV. At a minimum, I always tell everyone, Christmas Eve, Christmas, there's usually some good TV, even if those movies are not your thing. But if you do celebrate and you had people over, I hope Santa treated you well. Hope you were good little boys and girls. And if you want to see what the ultimate Gamecock last-minute Christmas wish is, go ahead on my Instagram, Cox Talking Gamecocks. I sent Santa a last-minute letter, and I think it was fun for everyone involved. But this is really kind of that week where, you know, you don't really know what's going on. I mean, for me, it feels funny having this midweek episode. I don't know if it's, was it Thursday, Friday, Sunday? And honestly, I felt a little bit rusty getting prepared for this. So I got to shake off the food and all the booze, the cobwebs, the cookies over the past few days. Got to shake that off. Got to get back into mid-season form. I don't know. But what we're going to do for today's episode is I'm going to give updates as I like from around South Carolina athletics, really men's and women's basketball. Got some updates and previews there. But then most of the episode will be previewing the Duke's Mayo Bowl matchup for the football team, and then going to give my last six pack of picks for the year with New Year's six bowls. So New Year's six bowl pack of picks, it kind of works out that way. So all right, so we're going to just jump right into things here, y'all. So starting with the men's team, unfortunately, not the best update for y'all. Their upcoming game, which was supposed to be Wednesday afternoon against South Carolina State, has been postponed due to COVID protocols. And in fact, there were no real, makeup dates, anything definitive released as of now. So hopefully everyone on both sides are healthy and are fine. It's just more of a formality at this point, but hopefully we can make up that game because that's an in-state little fun matchup there. Anytime you can incorporate an HBCU into your schedule, it always makes for fun matchups and things like that. So hopefully everybody is going well. And I don't know, it just kind of makes you think, like, it felt like maybe that should have been the case against the team, the game when we played the team in the upstate. And if that had been rescheduled at full health, could have been a different result, but hey, we can't go backwards, only forwards. And going forwards to the women's side of things, look at that segue. I mean, it's only episode 30. That was smooth as butter, as cool as the other side of the pillow. Oh, getting good with this thing. But quick shout out, I wasn't able to do a full episode post their amazing win against Stanford. So quick shout out, I want to take a step back. What an amazing game. What an amazing comeback and an amazing win. I mean, I was locked in for every minute of that, jumping up and down at the very end. That is your number one team in the country right there. South Carolina stood up against, I think it was an 18-point deficit at one point, and they clawed their way back. And Dawn Staley, she's a great motivator. She's an excellent recruiter. She's an excellent human being. The X's and O's side of her as a coach, I feel like sometimes actually can get overlooked. And there were a couple of moments late in that game where it was either decisions to foul or who to inbound to and things like that that made a huge difference. So standing up, sort of really releasing some demons, sort of getting the juju right against Stanford, that felt great in front of the home crowd. So big shout out. But They are also set to play Mizzou Thursday night in Columbia, Missouri. So really, what a Thursday for the Gamecocks, because we have the bowl game in the morning slash afternoon, and then you have an SEC women's basketball matchup. And obviously, there is some history with us and Mizzou, those women's programs there. I'm not going to get into it, but it feels like that whenever we play them, the intensity does get turned up a notch. So real quick here, what is South Carolina looking at? Mizzou is 11-2 on the year, but they've only played one ranked team, and that was one of their losses. So really makes me think that they just might be more athletic than the teams they've played this year and have not really ran into a team like the Gamecocks yet. So my crow to the game is just play through our bigs. The win against Stanford, it was such an incredible team effort. Everyone got involved. But Mizzou, you know, they haven't played this high-ranked team, right, like us. And Mizzou is simply not Stanford. So if we can get a strong rotation between Boston, Cardoza, Saxton, then I think it'll just simply be too much for Mizzou, and they won't be able to manage it. And then that should open things up for everyone else on our team, especially our shooters. But between that, and hopefully it was a nice restful week off for the Gamecocks, I expect the Gamecocks to handle business in Como, and Dawn Staley and company keep this thing rolling. But outside of basketball, there were a couple of updates on the football side of things here. So lineman Eric Douglas, he announced he's coming back to school for his last year of eligibility. And regardless of what you may or may not think about our offensive line this year, I feel that anytime you can have a veteran presence, he's an interior lineman. So if you have a veteran presence on the interior on the line, that can only be a good thing. So hopefully the group can either get better coaching or better scheme or understand their roles better. Something going into next year, hopefully there's an evolution of that development, and having a guy like him could be valuable. But then also, there were three unnamed players suspended for the bowl game. Shane Beamer said none of them were starters. However, I did see a report that Jordan Strawn was not at practice. So he could be one of those guys. I don't really know. But this is just, of course, just of course, especially with J.J. Enagbare out and some other guys out, just with the Gamecocks, just the typical roller coaster of Gamecock football and Gamecock fandom, that just out of the blue, three players suspended for a bowl game. It just, All right, moving on here. But speaking of the bowl game, it is finally here. I cannot believe it. South Carolina is taking on North Carolina Thursday, nice and early, folks, so better set your alarms, better not get too twisted the night before. You got to wake up bright and early. 11:30 a.m. kickoff. My goodness, even just seeing that. Whew. But you know what? Just get your mimosas ready. Get your mimosas ready, because we are going full send for our last taste of South Carolina football for what's it going to be? 8 months, give or take, the offseason? So you really got to make the most of it here. And as I am recording this, the game is still set to go on. I saw a report that there was no major outbreaks, no major new positives within the teams. So fingers crossed this game actually happens, because it just is a crazy time we are living in, and bowl games left and right are being canceled for COVID, injuries, transfers. So hopefully this actually happens, because we are down to the wire here. And it feels like if we don't get news in the next couple of hours, that hopefully we can get this thing actually kicked off. And if you are listening to this and the opposite has happened and the game gets canceled, well, that freaking sucks. And just know that I'm probably there with you, drowning my sorrows somewhere, probably at 11:30 a.m. So let's just make that pact together, that kickoff, no kickoff, 11:30 a.m. mimosas. We'll do a virtual cheers if there's no game to actually kick off to. But assuming the game goes on, what is South Carolina? Ugh, can't even speak. Thinking about mimosas already. What is South Carolina looking at in the Tar Heels? So UNC is 6-6 on the year. It's actually kind of a big drop off from where many people had them finishing to when it was the start of the year. They had a lot of high hopes. They were top 10, if not top 15 for sure going into the year. They were coming off a very strong year. And quarterback Sam Howell, he is a top quarterback prospect, and he has been pretty electric pretty much since he took his first snaps in college, which we all know was against South Carolina in Charlotte, just like his probable last game would be. But North Carolina, they have sort of been a team with a tale of two sides. Team with a tale of two sides. Try saying that five times fast. But what I mean by that is their offense averages 36 points per game, but their defense gives up 31 points a game. So as good as the offense can be, it really has seemed like their defense has been the letdown of their team and probably the reason why they are 6-6. I mean, I think they had a couple of stinkers on the offensive side, but if your defense is giving up 31 game in and game out, your offense can only do so much. So that's probably their Achilles heel, if you will. But funny enough, it actually feels like it's the inverse of the South Carolina team, where our defense only gave up 24 on average, which, if you ask me, is a pretty darn good number, but our offense only averaged 21 points a game. So as good as the defense was for most of the year, the offense was often lagging behind. So it feels like it's another one of those games where it's which side is going to blink first. I feel like we've had a couple of those this year where you had an offensive, you know, powerhouse versus our defense and vice versa. So which side is going to show up more? Is the South Carolina offense going to step up in this bowl game, surprise some people? Or will the UNC defense take a step forward and maybe help their offense out? So it's going to be interesting to see. But before I give my crows to the game, I do think it is worth noting here that South Carolina, we have been hit harder, frankly. We have been hit harder with guys leaving the program, either transferring or opting out of this game to train for the NFL draft, more so than North Carolina. To my knowledge, UNC has a couple of guys, and I think they had guys get banged up at the end of the year. But most notably, Sam Howell is playing in this game. I think that's surprising to a lot of folks, but just try to keep that in mind. I'm going to base my crows to the game and my overall feel to the game, I'm basing that on what we have seen this, like, to this point in our season. I'm not going to say, well, this guy's not here, this guy's not here. It changes the needle that much. It sucks losing playmakers, but all we have to do is look on what we have seen. And luckily, it's not a ton of guys, but it just sucks because the guys who have left have been playmakers. But let's try to maybe keep that perspective during the game itself. I know that's much easier said than done, believe me. But hey, maybe let's try not to ride the roller coaster too much, but whatever. So my crows to the game for one last ride this football season. I know I already gave one for the women's basketball game, but if you are a new listener, what I mean by crows to the game is everyone has their keys to the game, keys to victory, whatever it may be. That's tired. We have our rooster crow. We have our crow in Willie B. So we do crows to the game on this podcast. So my overall crow for the game, for everyone in the program, the team, the coaches, the staff, enjoy the moment, right? But when that ball is kicked to start the game, understand that it is business as usual. Now, we as fans feel that there are certainly some demons to be exercised with this particular matchup and this particular location. But that's our job. Our job is to get nervous about that. Everyone on the sideline needs to simply be focused on their one-on-one matchups and take it one play at a time. So if there are guys who remember the vibes from that from a couple years ago, you have to put that out of your head. Absolutely. Now, starting with the defense, as I like to do, my first crow to the game there is next man up on the edge. Enagbare opting out is a huge loss for us. But if we're going to slow down UNC, putting pressure on Howell is step and priority number one. So someone in that front seven, particularly in the front four, needs to elevate their game and be a force to be reckoned with. Now, personally, I would love to see Jordan Birch have a day. He can have a day, have his moment, and really use this bowl game as a stepping stone to kick off what hopefully will be a true breakout season for him next season. So Jordan Birch or someone else on that edge has to be able to step up their game. Now, my second crow to the game is limit Howell's run ability. When you look at Howell, he doesn't really look like a guy who has quicks. I mean, he's obviously an incredible athlete. He's going to make a ton of cash, but like, if you were to see him just like walk in the street, you might not think that. He just kind of looks like an average Joe. But his ability to scramble and create some plays with his feet is what makes him exciting to be an NFL quarterback. And UNC will certainly have some designed runs for Howell. But whether it's those runs or scrambles when the play breaks down, South Carolina has to be able to limit the damage and try to make him a little bit one-dimensional. Because I believe our secondary is strong enough to hang with the wide receivers of UNC. Now, my third quote of the game is, do what got us here. This year on the defensive side of the ball was a bit of a renaissance for South Carolina. Our defense hadn't been great for the past few years. This year, it took a huge step forward. Obviously, a few blemishes here and there, but overall, I think everyone can agree this defense took a huge step forward. So keep doing that. Do what we saw all year, playing fast, playing physical, making tackles, communicating. UNC is going to be able to move the ball. They're just going to. They have proven that they have that all year. But if we play our game and are aggressive and can get a turnover or two even, then I would say that's a solid job on the defense, and hopefully that can keep us in the game. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, my first crow to the game is pound the running game. Now, obviously, losing Z. White is also a huge, huge loss. But y'all, we still got Kevin Harris, Marshawn Lloyd, and Juju McDowell in that backfield. And I'm especially looking at guys like Kevin and Juju, guys who have shown to be strong playmakers this year to carry most of the load in this game. And UNC, they have been susceptible to long runs this season. And it just has felt like if the South Carolina team, if our offense, if we can get our running game going, then the rest of the offense tends to go as well. So we have to make that a priority. You don't want to have Zeb throw our way into a W. Nothing against Zeb, but lean on your guys who have been proven, who have been there, and that is our running backs. But my second crow to the game, speaking of playmakers, is just get in the van. The second crow is everyone, come on, get in the van, buckle up, pile in, right? Because we saw this Zeb Nolan to Josh Van connection a few times this season, particularly ECU and Georgia, a couple of great downfield throws. Now, UNC is down a top corner or two, if I'm not mistaken. So I want to see some more of those deep shots. Lean on our best receiver to continue the great year that he has had this season and continue to build that momentum for him next year. But also, reminder, Josh Van, he's recently a new dad. And any sports fan will tell you that new dads, they tend to have great games. So I'm just saying, I think the newfound dad strength for Josh Van could be an X factor and could maybe make up for some of the deficits that we're facing with Z. White out and things like that. But my bonus crow to the game here is help Parker White break the points record. He's 3, maybe 4 points away from breaking Elliott Fry's record. And if the offense can just get him in range and we can see that happen on his last game as a Gamecock, that would be incredible for a guy that has done so much for our program. So overall for the game, this feels like a game where South Carolina is going to have to put up points well above our season average. I mean, we haven't really been in a true shootout, but I do think that UNC is going to be able to score points. So simply put, we're going to have to be able to play with them and catch up with them. And even with some playmakers from us missing, I still think our two deep on our roster is really good on both sides of the ball. And hopefully the positivity and grit and fight that we saw all year carries over into this game, and we don't back down from any adversity. And if we can get Howell on the ground a couple of times and our run game can ease the burden on Zeb, I'll give South Carolina as good a chance as anyone in this game. And as y'all know, as I have all season, I don't like to get into exact point predictions, but to me, it feels like the benchmark for Carolina, South Carolina, that is, needs to be 28. If we can get 28 points on the board, I'll feel like we have a good chance to end up on the right side of this one, because hopefully our defense can limit the damage to around that as well. So let's root them in. We got one last hurrah, and let's go Cox. But with that being said, we will do the final last hurrah of our New Year's 6 Bowl Pack Edition, the 6-pack of picks. It's the last one for the year. We're going to do the New Year's 6 Bowls just because that fits so easily. So real quick here, and then we'll wrap up. Peach Bowl, Michigan State versus Pittsburgh, opt-outs galore in this game. Kenny Pickett, see ya. Because of that, under 56. They're not scoring points in that game. Fiesta Bowl, Notre Dame versus Oklahoma State. Obviously no Brian Kelly, so a little flux there. Give me the Pokes. Give me Oklahoma State +2.5. Should be a close one. Rose Bowl, Utah versus Ohio State. That's January 1st. Over 64. Both these teams love to score points. I think Ohio State just had a big opt-out from a wide receiver, but I still think it's going to go over. Sugar Bowl, Ole Miss versus Baylor, also January 1st. Ole Miss 1.5. I think the lane train rolls there. And then the two semifinal games here, Georgia versus Michigan. This is on New Year's Eve, like 7:30 at night. This is a tough one. I'm actually going with Michigan plus 7.5. I just feel like it's going to be close regardless. I think Alabama gave a blueprint per se of how you can slow down Georgia, and I think it's close. And then Cincinnati versus Alabama also on New Year's Eve in the afternoon. Give me Bama minus 13.5. I love the Bearcats. I love the story. I love that a group of five team has broken through, but it's Alabama, and I just think that after that win against Georgia, they're going to roll. But with that being said, y'all, that wraps up this episode. A fun episode. It felt great to talk football again with y'all. I am very, very excited. Let's keep our fingers crossed that this game goes off. And regardless of how it turns out, man, Carolina football, there is nothing else like it. So let's go Gamecocks. Let's root the boys in, and I'll catch y'all later.